as we go through the Word. What's on your heart? Do you have, because of what's happening around you, because of what's going on, do you have an agenda? Have you got something in your mind, in your heart that, you know what, we need to do this, and we need to make this happen, and we need to do it this way and this time? And I mean, I don't know about you, but when I get stressed, I start making plans that are my plans. And anytime anyone makes plans in their own strength and in their own mind, in their own way, we get on the wrong track. And we're going back to a story. We're looking at 1 Samuel still. And remember, 2 weeks ago when I left, we had David was on the run, wasn't he? David was on the run, and he's been on the run for a long time. He's been going to city, to cave, to forest. He's just trying to find some place where he's not going to be killed. And on his journeys, he went to the town of Nob, and as he got there, he had shared a lie with Ahimelech, the leader there, and the chief priest. And as he shared the lie about that he was in the blessing of Saul, and he asked for help. He asked for some food and for a sword, and he got the sword of Goliath. And as he shared that lie, you know, the message today is called decisions have consequences. And sometimes the consequences show up right away, don't they? Sometimes it's just immediate. I remember being a young man, and one of the rules was you don't touch dad's tools. And I remember one time I'd gone downstairs and I was building something. I was real excited, and the reason I wasn't supposed to touch the tools is because I didn't always remember to put the tools away. And sure enough, something had come up, and I'd gone upstairs, and he'd come back early, and he always would come in through the garage, which would mean he'd go by the workshop and look to his left. And when he looked to his left, he saw tools on the floor, and Matthew! It wasn't boys, it was just Matthew. Even though I had two older brothers, I think he could take one look around and knew who was in there. And sometimes the consequences are immediate, aren't they? Sometimes we can think that there wasn't a consequence. We can think that things have, okay, enough time has gone, we're okay. You ever been there? And then it can be 3 months later and the phone rings and where's your mind? Is this when the consequence hits? You start looking at doorways, you start looking at conversations people are having, and you're thinking, is that about me? Is that about this situation? You ever been there when you haven't dealt with something, when you haven't hit it head on, and it's just there, and the consequence is just, it's just waiting and waiting and waiting. And here, 2 weeks ago, as David had been on the run, and the king had found out, Saul had found out where he was, and had gone to get him, and David had moved on. But as the priest was there, Doeg stood up and shared what he shared about David, giving the help, about Ahimelech giving help to David. And we enter in here in verse 11. Then the king sent for the priest Ahimelech, the son of Ahitub, and all the men of his family who were the priests at Nob, and they all came to the king. Guys, imagine being one of the priests, and you know, you've heard stories about his state of mind. You've heard what he's done to David. You've seen David recently. You know that David, one of Saul's best men, who's been so committed to the king, has been hated by that same king, and he's trying to kill him. And here he's called for you. Verse 12, Saul said, "Listen now, son of Ahitub, Yes, my lord, he answered. Saul said to him, why have you conspired against me, you and the son of Jesse, giving him bread and a sword and inquiring of God for him, so that he has rebelled against me and lies in wait for me, as he does today? He refers to Ahimelech, the priest, the same way he refers to David. That should be the first key that things aren't going to go well. He doesn't use his name. He says, you son of your father. Just like he calls David the son of his father. He doesn't even give him his own name. And he says, you've conspired against me. Is it true? You know, Ahimelech has done nothing but tried to honor David, tried to honor Saul, tried to honor God. He's done what's right. He wasn't in the know that David wasn't on mission like he said he was for Saul. And he had blessed David. He had helped him. But right now, Saul is, his paranoia is causing him to go in directions he never thought he would go years before. Guys, when you have jealousy, unforgiveness, when you have this stirring in your heart of junk, time does not heal all wounds. That is a lie. What time does is it gives you a chance to stir the pot. And it gives a chance for others who've also been injured to come in and add to the creation and sprinkle it with a little bit of hatred, a little bit of envy, a little bit of bitterness, and you're stirring it. Time does not heal all wounds. Verse 14, this is Ahimelech's truthful defense. Ahimelech answered the king, who of all your servants is as loyal as David? You see what he's doing? He's going to the truth. But sometimes when you're dealing with somebody who's full of bitterness, the truth makes something worse. Who of all your servants is as loyal as David, the king's son-in-law, captain of your bodyguard and highly respected in your household? Was that day the first time I inquired of God for him? Of course not. Let not the king accuse your servant or any of his father's family, for your servant knows nothing at all about this whole affair. He's saying, David's your man. He's been your right-hand man all this time. I didn't know what was going on. I'm innocent of this. But king, David is beside you. He's for you. And then the unreasonable verdict. But the king said, you will surely die. You see, bitterness, it leads to death. Unforgiveness leads to death. What does it lead to? The death? At least the death of relationships. And maybe not even the whole death of the whole relationship. Maybe it's just the end and the death of real relationship. Have you ever had that relationship with somebody that has become the enemy, but you still have the pleasantries? How you doing? Good. I know what you're. How are you? Oh, I'm fine. Yeah, I know what you've been talking about to him and her. Things going all right? Oh, things are going great, except for what you said about me here and this. Right? Unforgiveness, bitterness, anger leads to death. Leads to the death of real relationship. Leads the death to intimacy. But the king said, you will surely die, Ahimelech, you and your whole family. Then the king ordered the guards at the side, turn and kill the priests of the Lord, because they too have sided with David. Remember from 2 weeks ago, he was saying, "You, everybody's turned away from me." And now he's giving the order. Kill him. His servants are there. Those who are following him are there. And he's given the order, kill him. What's the response? But the king's officials were unwilling to raise a hand to strike the priests of the Lord. You see, there's something that I think in today's world, we forget about. And guys, this is so important right now because there's a lot of fear about the leadership of our country. There's a lot of fear about where we're going. And we can come and we can try and take things into our own hands, and we can try and direct traffic of the people around us. And we can come against the Lord's anointed. And one of the things I want to ask you is this. Is our leader, and I don't want you to answer, is our leader in the line of Saul or in the line of David? Is our leader to come that we don't know who it is yet in the line of Saul or in the line of David? And I want to ask you this. Who are you to say? Who am I to say? Yeah. Is God sovereign? Yes. Does God make mistakes?
No.
Can we trust God?
Yes.
Does God sometimes use challenging times to bring His will?
Yes.
Is God out of control right now?
No.
Not even a little. Guys, we can have peace and rest because God is sovereign and in charge. And the heart of man says, I know who's after the line of Saul, and I know who's after... You know what? Some people may be looking at you and thinking the same thing. I know as your pastor, some of you have looked at me and said, Saul, David. Guys, the weight of responsibility is heavy in leadership. For our leaders, as we trust God, we pray that His will be done. We pray hard. But we don't have to live in fear. And right now, there is a spirit of fear that is consuming the people around us. And I want to encourage us, let's be light in darkness. Because we know that God is sovereign, that He is in control. And you know what? Saul didn't start out where he was, did he? Did God choose Saul? Say it with a little more passion there. Did God choose Saul?
Yes.
He did. Saul has a purpose, both in when he was walking well with the Lord, and even now. And we'll see that in a few minutes here. Another example of that. But the king's officials were unwilling to raise a hand and strike the priest of the Lord. The king ordered then ordered Doeg, the same guy, the Edomite. The guy, it's like, why is he there? But when you're a mad king and you want a yes man, you'll turn to anyone who will be your yes man. Guys, when you've got a wound, it feels so good to have somebody say, yeah, how dare they? You not only need to get even, you need to get ahead. And the lie of Satan comes up from the pit of hell through the mouth of the one who's been injured. And the wounded one looks to wound others. The king then ordered Doeg, you turn and strike down the priests. So what is he saying? Take them all out. Take all the priests out. Doeg does even more. So Doeg, the Edomite, turned and struck them down that day. He killed 85 men who were the linen ephod. Think about that. 85. Did he have a lot of help? No. You see, when I'm in my brokenness, and I bring others into my brokenness, it doesn't take much to create a wasteland. Guys, we have to be so careful. careful with our righteousness, because so easily it becomes self-righteousness. So Doeg the Edomite turned and struck them down. That day he killed 85 men who wore the linen ephod. He also put the sword Nam, the town of the priests, with its men and women, its children and infants, and its cattle, donkeys, and sheep. What does Doeg do? He kills everything. Anything breathing, they're gone. Not even human. Animals, gone. Infants, gone. Anyone. Doeg went a lot further. And guys, what happened here? I want you to picture it a little bit. I want you to feel the weight of what's going on. The king that the people had asked for. They had said, "We want a king like all the other nations." They were given a warning. These are the things that are going to happen. And one of the things that's talked about is what happened with Doeg was connected with the evil of Ahimelech's great-grandfather, Phinehas, and Phinehas' brother, Hophni, Eli's two depraved sons. Let's go back to 1 Samuel 2:31 through 33. "Behold, the days are coming when I will cut off your strength and the strength of your father's house, so that there will not be an old man in your house. Then in distress you will look with envious eye on all the prosperity that shall be bestowed on Israel, and there shall not be an old man in your house forever. The only one of you whom I shall not cut off from my altar shall be spared to weep his eyes out, to grieve his heart. And all of the descendants of your house shall die by the sword of men." Do you think God's not in control? Hophni, Phinehas, do you remember at the beginning of the series? As we've been looking here at the rise of David. What was the rise before that? The rise of Samuel. And between those was the rise of Saul. And with the rise of Samuel, Samuel had been chosen by God, and his sons had dishonored God. They were taking the meat that had become to be offered, and rather than taking a small portion, they were taking it before it was even boiled, and they were taking it all raw. And then they were sleeping with the women at the head of the tents and being dishonest before men. They were the priests. And there is consequence. Sometimes those consequences are felt. They felt consequence when they were put to death. But you see, my sin doesn't just affect me. My sin affects those who are with me, around me, after me. What kind of legacy do we want to leave, guys? What kind of life do we want to live so that the people who come after us, Tim's your great, I knew him when. Fenton's your grandfather, I knew him when he was at this church. What was it called? Oh yeah, Community Bible Fellowship. What kind of legacy are we going to have? See, the only one of you, there was one left. There was one left. And if we go into the next verse in 1 Samuel 22, we see who that is. But one, son of Ahimelech, son of Ahitub, named Abathar. There it is. There's the one that we heard about in chapter 2. Escaped and fled to join David. He told David that Saul had killed the priests. Then David said to Abathar, "It's not my fault. It's not my fault, Abathar. I was trying to stay alive. It's Saul's fault. He's the one that did the killing." Is that the response of David? No. What's the response? I love this. Then David said to Abathar, "That day when Doeg the Edomite was there, I knew he would be sure to tell Saul, I am responsible for the death of your whole family." Stay with me. Don't be afraid. The man who wants to kill you is trying to kill me too. You will be safe with me. Now, first of all, David's where? He's in a forest. He's hiding out. And he's saying, hey, you're safe with me. Sometimes our situation isn't the reality from what God sees and is doing. David knows what God's promise has been. And David has been hiding and on the run, but David is trusting God. And he's saying, Abiathar, you're with me. But you know what? He also took responsibility for what he did wrong. It's hard to do. Is it? Oh, man. You ever been with your kids after you've messed up? And you've had to look them in the eye and say, I'm sorry. I blew it. You ever had a friend that maybe you felt like, you know, I could justify my actions. But what is God saying? Come back in right relationship. Can't always happen. But as far as it goes with you, it can. You can be available. You can be approachable. Abiathar is continuing on. Stay with me. Don't be afraid. Guys, I love that. We don't need to walk in the spirit of fear. There is a lot of chaos in our world today. You go any country, there's chaos everywhere. But God is in control. God is working through everything. God is putting the pieces together. It's like that tapestry that's beautiful from above, that if you look at it from below, it's just strings hanging down in chaos. Let's not have an earthly view. Let's rise above. Let's trust God and trust that He sees what we can't. And know that He is our defender, that He is our protector, that He is leading us and guiding us. And then when someone else comes to us in brokenness and fear and mistrust and hurt, we can lead them not to ourselves, not to our right answers, because your right answer isn't necessarily right. Neither is mine. But we can lead them to the one who has the answer, who is the answer, so that there's peace in the midst of chaos, so that there's joy in the midst of brokenness. Our situation might not change, but we will be changed. We will be changed because of what God has done. I asked that question at the beginning. What's on your heart right now? And because of what's on your heart, what agenda have you made to deal with it? Put that agenda down. Put it aside. And say, I'm not dying for this. Dying to a relationship, dying to intimacy of relation, God, what is your plan? How do I stop trying to have you bless what I'm doing? How do I say, God, I want to start investing in what you're doing? And so many of you are in there right now, invested in the things that God is doing. And I just want to say thank you for that. Because, I mean, we saw it with VBA. We've seen it with other things. We've seen it with different ministries of people's hearts being changed. Because we start joining God in what He's doing. And it's exciting when it happens, guys. We want to see more of it. Man, I'm excited for what God has for us. There is so much before us, you guys. There is so much. And we get to be a part of what God is doing. Does it get better than that? We get to be a part of God's eternal plan. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Even us. We get to be a part of it. So let's jump on. Let's grab on with both hands to Christ. And guys, when we do that, as soon as we do that, we're going to be outside of our comfort zone. Praise God. And we're going to be going on this ride that it's exciting. We don't know where the ride's going. We haven't been on it before. But man, we will be blown away by what God includes us in. It's an exciting time, you guys. There's also one more thing that as we have a time where there's uncertainty, this is one of the blessings that comes from that. People are more open to the gospel. Guys, did you hear that? If you hear nothing else, hear that. Right now, people are more open to the gospel than they've been. When you're living in the lap of luxury and you don't need God for anything, we create our towers of Babel. And we're filled with what we... Right now, there's a need and it's known. Praise God for that. Because it's removing the blinders from people's eyes. And they're able to see truth. Some of them for the first time. Let's help them not just see the truth from kind of afar. Let's bring them to Christ. Let's lead them to the foot of the cross where they belong with us. Let's close in prayer. Father, thank you so much that you are powerful, Lord. Father, thank you that with the Doegs in our lives, Lord, it's not our role to get revenge. You are the one who judges. Lord, for those who are against your will, Lord, we pray for them that they would be humbled, that they would see your goodness. Lord, we pray for us, Lord, that we would not be convinced that we hold that God-only knowledge of who is after the king, Saul, and who is after King David. Father, forgive us for trying to be the ones to determine that in the leadership above us. You choose that for your purpose, for your will. Lord, we pray that we would be in your will, about your will. Father, that we would be close to you, holding on tightly as we're on a journey that is chaos, extremely chaotic and extremely dangerous, and yet we are under your wing. We are safe eternally with you. Father, we pray for everyone in this community, Lord, who doesn't know you, Lord. We ask you that you would give through the people here, Lord, and in the other churches, Lord, in this community. We pray that you would give us opportunity to love people in our neighborhood, to love them well, to encourage them, to come alongside them, to not give our answers, but Lord, to hear their hearts and lead them to you. Father, thank you for them. Thank you for the ones that this week are going to come to you, this month, this year, who are going to come to salvation. Lord, thank you for including us in your work and in bringing them to you for salvation. And Father, I pray that no one here would ever carry the burden of salvation on their own shoulders. That's your work. Our call is to be ambassadors. It's only Christ who saves. So, Father, we trust you and we love you. Show us how to love well in spirit and in truth, and in the truth according to your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks, guys.